Imperatriz, three quarters of a length in front. The Kiwi and Opie. Imperatriz has swept past all of them and has raced up and grabbed the lead from Giga Kick and Rough File. What a win this. Imperatriz is flying now as Fur at the 50. Imperatriz has got her. But Imperatriz called upon, still three lengths in front, and the Tangerine Tsunami's going to do it again. Imperatriz, 100 to go. Johnny Rocker bravely giving her a race, but it's the Kiwi Wonder. 10 group ones.
She's certainly probably the best horse Tiako's ever had now.
G'day listeners and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing day two of the championships at Royal Randwick and of course the Nursery of Champions at Bendigo with Golden Mile Day. Lots of Obus money, prize money on offer. Will Alford, Nick McGolter, how are we going? We've just heard, did a little Imperatriz intro just then, stole it straight from the valley. Our good man Geroid Martin has put that together. So the big news broke that Imperatriz has retired today. So thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. But sad because I don't get to... Actually, I never really got to bet on her. I only bet on her once and she lost. So
squib.
Yeah. Yulong will probably buy her and she'll keep racing. So...
Wouldn't that be controversial?
No, it will happen. It will happen. She'll be sold and then Yulong will buy her and she'll be in the Everest. It's a complete moral. It'll happen.
Well, you heard it.
I think they are selling her.
Yeah, definitely selling her.
I thought they were going to keep her and breed from her, but straight to the sales that she has. I'd be surprised if they don't have breeding.
No.
They don't have their own breeding? Oh, okay.
No, they usually sell them all and just make money for their owners, they were saying.
To be fair, they sold Melody Bell for $1 gazillion.
I think she was $3 or $4 mil.
Imperatriz could easily be.
She should be
sale,
at least six.
The sale topper.
Yeah, no shit.
She's a buy. I'm invincible as well. So,
yeah.
ten-time Group One winner. What a horse she was. Whether you want
still
to
only
a
got
champion,
beat half a length
I probably wouldn't.
On the
I would call her a superstar. But yeah, Cylinder also retired today. So the Newmarket Cronulla. Gone.
What do we think? You reckon something's happened to him?
He's just no good. apart from the Newmarket.
He ran
I don't know, maybe a little problem came up, but it's probably just time. Like, what's the point of getting him ready for the spring when they can go to stud, make money? He's a son of Exceed and Excel.
Do you reckon Exceed and Excel retiring from stud had anything to do with it?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Interesting.
And just to fill everyone in on the Imperatriz retirement, they weren't actually planning on retiring her. They did want to bring her back for the spring. She would have come to the Valley again, unbeaten 5 out of 5, as you would have heard in the intro.
She was always going to NZ for a spell.
Would have gone to the Everest, but they actually did a full vet check on her, and she does have some wear and tear in her joints and her knees. And that was probably evident in that last run in the TJ. I know she was a little bit unlucky, but she was lengths down on her total best.
I heard a interesting clip during the week. Opie had said to Cuz, Michael Walker, Mickey Walker, who does all his form, he goes, if I wasn't pocketed by Zach, he reckons I still would have won. Even with her not...
Well, she did cop a check.
I'm just relaying the information, but I don't know if that's... I don't believe that's probably the case. I think she's down on her form and whatnot, but that's just what he reckons.
Aft Cabin did keep her in. Zach Purton, being Zach Purton, held the elbows up and made sure she stayed there, which was interesting.
And he's proper fallen out the screen as well.
Yeah. I was... Name drop. I was talking to someone from Tiarkow in Sydney on the weekend, and they said,
"We get it. You're at the championships day one. We get it. Big week."
They said, "Opie doesn't usually swear but he had a few words about Zach Purton during the run. So that was good listening.
I hope he said something along the lines of, enjoy your bumpy flight back to Hong Kong, yeah. Beep, beep, beep.
And the other big news dropping today is Steve Rossich resigned as CEO of the VRC. So Flemington is looking for a new CEO bot. So maybe
you should step in. I'll take one for the team. I'll
steady the ship.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. They need a bit of that.
How long has he been in that position for?
Oh, I'm not sure exactly, but big wig stepping down, and yeah, he will remain the CEO until they find someone else. But he's come out and said he wants out, which is
fuck. Imagine Nick is CEO or something.
I don't want to imagine that.
No,
I
mean,
I should be CEO. I should be straight. That'd be dangerous. Straight to the top. Straight to the top.
They'd have jumps like 1400 meter races around Flemington.
No, not 1400, but we'd have shorter than 3200 meter jumps races. Mm. But back in the day, they had the first race on a Saturday was always a jumps race, even at Flemington.
I know.
Bring it back.
Used to have them at the Valley as well.
Bring it back.
Trots and jumps at the Valley. How good.
Imagine a jump in the home straight at Rooney Valley. You've already got a little short straight and you've still got another flight to go. Chaos.
The sport wouldn't last very long.
No.
Isn't the Grand National on this weekend?
The what?
Yes, at Aintree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So what is that, 34 runners or something?
Yeah, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, but that's
that's not safe.
It's a heavy 55, $9 the field. Chaos.
Yeah. It's a spectacle, but half of them don't even finish the race.
Hopefully there's a few protesters that stick themselves to the flights again and they cop a smack when the horses go past them.
Yeah, it's quite entertaining listening to all that. Animal Rising.
I can't wait. That's one of my favourite bits of Warrnambool. Get to serve those.
Yeah, abusing
see you
the protesters.
Next Tuesdays on the Thursday.
Secondhand embarrassment. I'm standing next to Nico and he's just blasting. He's just blasting these vegetarians.
Well,
vegans.
When they're spitting absolute dribble, they need to be told.
Yeah.
No one's getting up at 4 o'clock to look after you.
Let's move on. We're going to start in Sydney again this week because that is where the good racing is.
Oi, rail out 4 meters. Good racing at Terang on Sunday.
You mean Sunday at Pakenham?
Please. Rail out 4 meters. The track is a soft. Is it a soft six or a soft seven? They're saying soft seven on tab and a six on punting form, which is.
I heard a six today. All right, it'll be a five tomorrow.
I'm saying there's a good chance it'll be a good four come race day, but maybe like on the softer side, they might still be getting their toe into it a little bit. It might be soft five, might be good four, but
I suspect it will improve. No,
I'm saying fence is going to be off. I know the rail is out 4 meters, but it just seems like those hard inside lanes, you can probably still be on the fence in run, but home straight, they will swing out, and I would say lanes sort of 6 to 12 will be the A ground.
Yeah.
With that said, let's go.
No confidence, nothing. I don't trust them.
There you go. Whack from Nico. I've got barely any confidence with my own betting right now. It has been harsh. Race 6, the ATC Oaks 2400 meters, 3-year-old Group 1. For the fillies, Orchestral has been backed into $1.65. Favorite from Zardozi, $4.40. Automangel's on the backup. She's $7 from Tuda, Levita, $10, and Quintessa, $15. Map here is very interesting. There's not much going on unless something wants to inject tempo into this race. But I think Orchestral will be a little bit too good. I thought last start. In the Vinery, slow tempo, coming back to the 2000. I thought she did enough late, and I think she'll improve again back out to 2400 meters. We saw how dominant she was in the New Zealand Derby. She put four lengths on a horse called Antrim Coast, who came here and won a Group 2, and then he was touched off last week by a roughie. But they did put a massive gap on third. So beating that horse by four lengths. I think it's good form. I think she is the next star of New Zealand racing. Look, $1.65 is incredibly short, but I think she wins. Zardozi's the clear danger. I think she would have gone mighty close to winning the Derby last week, but gee, I'm dirty on them. And I think they missed their chance. Comes back to a good track here, faces Orchestral on a drier surface than what she could have been on last week, which I think would have suited her better. And I think she will be behind Orchestral in the run from 9. Orchestral draws 3, has the barrier advantage, has J-Mac on, has the picket fence form. Happy to back her. I think we'll get better on the day. Automangel, I don't think she's a 2,400-meter horse. And Tour de la Vida can round out the placings, but I'm Orchestral on top.
Is anyone else betting Nick, or...
I can't see how they can beat Orchestral. Like, if they were going to beat her, it was last start when she was 2,400 back to 2,000. She's just got an enormous heart, a will to win. Like, Zardozi got close to her. She felt her there, and then she just pulled away from her late. Like, she was only getting stronger through the line. She's only going to be better suited to 2,400. I don't know how Zardozi can beat her, really. Zardozi's race was last week. I'm not a huge fan of Automangel on the backup. I think she had a hard run last week with 61.
She didn't have a lot of people walked.
But she still had to sprint from a long way with 61 kilos.
400 metres.
Oh, it's still...
She does just... It doesn't really give me stayer vibes. I don't know.
Well, to me, when I look at the race, I think Orchestral can feature in our best races come the spring. And when I look at Automangel, I go, you know, you're a nice horse, but I'm not going to be scared of you in a good race come the spring. Like, Orchestral is a proper horse. And, like, if you listen to what Mick Guerin said, he goes, Orchestral is as big back home as what Imperatriz is. Like, she might have even overtaken it. Well, probably has now that Imperatriz is finished. But he goes, like, everyone's rallying behind her because she's the next best thing. And I think I agree, to be honest. Obviously, she's going to have a big step when she turns 4 into open company, but I think she's pretty exciting, and you can't really pick any faults in her.
Yeah, I think the only fault you can pick is she's been up a long time now, and potentially maybe there's an end of prep run. But
yeah, well, but
I don't usually, like, with a horse like this, this has been a set play for a while. She hasn't really shown signs of end of prep yet. I think last start, she just wasn't as dominant due to race shape. I think I'm happy to look past that.
Well, last start was not dominant because it was the back and trip factor, I think, anyway.
Yeah,
she's better suited at 2,400.
Yep.
Mm. So I reckon,
and she gets to Randwick, which is the big thing, from Rose Hill.
And that's the thing, yeah. Randwick now, bigger track, better suited. I can't see how they beat her. You could mark her short, I think. And I think Zardozi is a good filly, but I think Orchestral's different gravy. J-Mac's ridden both of them, and he's committed to Orchestral a long way out. He normally gets these calls pretty spot on. But Zardozi hadn't even resumed this preparation, and he made that decision.
He would have known they were clashing at some stage. Will, anything else?
I just don't think there's much between them, to be honest. Like, you get in this price ratio with less percentage closer to the jump, then I think Zardozi is a great bet. Like, $5.50, $6 Zardozi is just like...
I can see that point of view as well.
Like it's not...
She's not $5.50, $6. Come on.
She's best price now is $5.10 now. Like, you could ease... Like, if they just, like, push everything into Orchestral, then I just can't see that happening.
I think Orchestral starts at $1.85, not at $1.65.
Yeah, probably. Like, even still, $5 is a... So I think it's a decent price, Zardozi. She's bred to run. She improved massively when she got to the mile and a half.
She also loses J-Mac.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, I just don't think there's as much between them as what the market sort of says. And you know, yeah. Mark's more often right than what I am, but, you know, like it's, yeah.
I do think we might get a touch better orchestral.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we've spent way too long on that race, I would have thought. Let's move on to the Sydney Cup. Don't know how this is a group one, but it is 3,200 metres. Handicap condition. Circle of Fire is on the backup, $4.80 favourite from Ashrun, $6. Athabascan is $8.50. Calipore, $9. Serpentine, $12. And Ahmad, $12. Who wants to have a throw of the dart here?
Well, I can go first if you want. I think Ashrun's a phenomenal bet in this race. It's not really a race that I would usually want to have a bet in, but he just has to be the one. He ran fourth in the Melbourne Cup. He's come back good this preparation. Won the Pakenham Cup, was solid last start behind Calipore. This is his race. I just think it's the here and now. At least you know he's going to run the trip strongly. It's just got to be the best form, I think.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I agree. You agree, Bot?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. That win in the Pakenham Cup was utterly dominant. That's him back to somewhere near his best. I thought he ran well last up, but it was just a complete jog, and he didn't really get the chance to show his staying prowess. And he is a proper stayer. And over 3,200 metres, they don't have to go lickety-split for the best stayer to come to the fore, and that is him. What is he getting with? 54 kilos? 55 and a half kilos? So I still think he's well weighted. The Sydney Cup is a race you can win up near the top of the weights because some of these down the bottom are dead set hacks. And I think he's the one. Circle of Fire, as good as he was last week, I actually think the flying jockey at Zini is a bit of a negative. Loses Dylan Gibbons. Is that just because he couldn't make the weight, or was he riding someone else?
No, he was committed to something else, I think.
Yeah, he's
committed. He was already booked for Calipore.
Yeah, so.
Do you reckon the flying old mate in is because there's no jockeys that can ride that weight?
Probably.
Yeah, for sure. I'd have something to do with it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the booking. Drawn out in 15.
Hutchie was all for it. He thought it was great.
Yeah, Hutchie's going to say that because this is a Hong Kong jockey and he's going well, but
I see your point. I guess
it's not easy just to fly into Randwick, draw barrier 15 on the favourite in a Sydney Cup with a target on your back and just produce a 10 out of 10.
Mm. Unless you ride for Coolmore, it doesn't matter what happens, cuz.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the dangers were the two OTI horses, if anything. Athabascan, $8.50, and Ahmad, you know, he's a plugger, but you know he'll at least stay. He's $12. If you can get better for both of those, you could probably have something small on Athabascan and Ahmad, but Ashrun's clearly on top for me.
Yeah, he's a bit of a character older mate. Philip Stokes was saying today he can just pull up in a gallop. He says out the back, mid-gallop, he'll just pull up. Absolute nutter.
Zach Spain probably hoped he pulled
well, he
up
said he, yeah. He said he's only getting to his best now. He goes, how's that work? He's a 10-year-old. Why is he only starting to peak now? But apparently he's flying. At least you know he'll run the trip.
The moral of the day is that Roy Flanagan will be tipping him.
$1.01.
What do you
think? I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think as good as the favourite was last week, it was the pace was a walk. And like it, I highly, highly doubt they'll go slow here just with Major Bill and Serpentine. I doubt that
remission, maybe.
Yeah, but Major Bill normally goes a million miles an hour and Serpentine will just sort of see it off, you might imagine. Other than that, actually, there's not that much speed, but he probably has to go somewhere near back to last and it could be a completely different race shape and it just, might just find him out, although he's a nice horse. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Ashrun's just... He's fourth up, but it's just a perfect setup for him, and yeah, I probably think he should be favourite.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't.
You change your tune a little bit from the review podcast spot.
Yeah, well, it's just a different. Yeah, it's just pace really, because they've gone from 16 lengths slow to the 800 to, like, what I assume they're going to go quick here. So it's just completely different. It's going to be all the way back in the field. If you'd drawn sort of inside, then I think it could have been different. You could find a spot easier, but especially with the two Gabe Waterhouse horses in the race. But like, I don't have any firm opinions.
Willow really will get it right.
They all train a different way from Monday to Friday, Benny, these data nerds.
Yeah, well, can't. Every race is different. You can't just have firm opinions on a Monday.
A race that we can well assume will have great pace in it is the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, race 8, 2,000 metre, Group 1, weight for age. Via Sestina is the dominant $2.30 favourite off the dominant win in the Ranvit. Pride of Jenny's into $3.80 now, so good support for this Iron Mare. Cascadian is $9. Mr. Brightside, 10-1. Imagine you had said that after you went back-to-back wins first and second up this preparation. You would have had that millions.
No,
and
Place to Carousel
is $11. Yeah, exactly right. Speed Map. Guess who leads?
Pride of Jenny. I'd like to wager.
Well done. Correct. But
yeah, they'll go ridiculously fast, you'd think. Maybe not as fast as they have been going, but I think the way that Pride of Jenny wins this race is just to go obscenely fast and hope and pray that Via Sestina, the difference in race shape, she just sort of gets caught and she gets left flat footed. But Via Sestina's first start win was very, very good, and the way she finished was dynamic. But like, Mr. Brightside, $10. I know, like, I don't want to just say because I really want him, hoping that he wins. But like, he did the same thing last prep, fourth up. He dipped, and then he came back and ran like a career best race in the Cox Plate. Like, I'm not an advocate for riding horses cold, but when you got Pride of Jenny in the race, it's probably a good idea to be somewhere off the speed anyway. So,
which he will be on Saturday.
Yeah, he will be. So, I think Via Sestina is probably a little bit short at the price, and I'd expect she gets out. But even Cascadian, like the rating that he ran last time, and that was everything sort of went perfectly for him. He went up the inside, and the pace was perfect, and it'll be fast again, but. But yeah, I think Mr. Brightside is probably a little bit big, to be honest. Like at $10, like it just seems like it's too big.
Yeah. Via Sestina for me is a bet. Look, is she too short right now? Yes, she probably is. But that first up win just had so much arrogance in it. I know she didn't beat a whole lot. Like, you're talking about Buckaroo, Place to Carousel, and a beaten up Think It Over who retired shortly after, but she did it in second gear. It was a very, very slow tempo, so margins were never going to be a thing, but you know, she still ran the fastest last 400 meters of the entire meeting. Barrier 5 here, which means she's just going to get the perfect run. I know it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system going from such a slowly run race to a fast run race, but last start she would have thought that was dead set a barrier trial. So if she can improve off that from a fitness perspective, then I think she's very hard to beat. She's going to be spotting Pride of Jenny the best part of probably 6 to 8 lengths in the run, but I think she can run her down. Pride of Jenny, no real knocks, but $3.80, it's probably getting a little bit tight given Cascadian did beat her last start. I'm already hamstrung with Mr. Brightside. I backed him at $10 when the news at Fangirl came out, thinking I was an absolute genius and $10 was going to be a great price, but he's $10 anyway. So he could go one of two ways. He could be off the bit and chasing for a long way, and maybe it is end of prep, but I hope he runs well and I hope he wins, because he still will be the best result for me in this race, given I'm already invested in the all-ins.
I hate this race. I really, really do. I'm 1A in the Mr. Brightside fan club. And I'm not going to sit here and...
You earn 50%, don't you?
55. I'm not going to sit here and piss on the listeners' backs and tell them it's raining. I don't believe that Mr. Brightside should be here on Saturday, regardless of how he's pulled up, this, that, and the rest. To me, even though he can't talk, he was saying that he was tired last start to me.
Mr. Brightside.
I don't think he should be here. I think he's had a phenomenal prep, albeit there's a new element in all these races with Pride of Jenny. To me, he should have just gone to the paddock, regardless of if he hasn't pulled up with anything or he has. If he's gone to the paddock here, or already in the paddock now, he can have an extra 2 to 3 weeks on these horses, get ready for the spring, and work out an attacking game plan how they're going to beat Pride of Jenny. Because that's all they've got to worry about. Because now that she's in all these races, she's turning them upside down, and it's a completely different ball game. He was too far off him in the All-Star Mile because Willow didn't do what he wanted to do or what he should have done. And then he was in a good spot last start, and he was probably too close, chasing from a long way out, and it dulled his finish. So they've got to work out a game plan on how they're going to beat her, because she's not going away anytime soon. So I'm already invested on him after before Fangirl come out, so I've got that ticket, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm confident, because I'm not.
How can you be?
I don't want to be on Via Sestina as good as she was last start. This always happens. These imports straight off the plane, great run, look like they're a model next start, and something happens and they get beat.
She's going to see a completely. Dabe and Dubai Honor do it.
I know, but she's going to see a completely different race shape here with Pride of Jenny going like a cut cat the whole way, or near enough too, and it's going to be completely different to anything she's ever seen. Dabe and Dubai Honor never had a horse like Pride of Jenny in their races. Not to say that it would have made a difference and they wouldn't have won, but the here and now, Via Sestina is going to experience something that she hasn't before, definitely here. I don't know about all their races in Europe. So to me, I don't really want to have a bet because I don't want to back Pride of Jenny because I'm still questionable on her at 2,000 metres, and I don't really want to cheer for her because I've got a little bit of a vendetta against her. And yeah, I don't really want to back Via Sestina. Cascadian was super last start, but is he going to get the same sort of run again? Possibly. And I'm already on Mr. B, but I'm not going to sit here and tip him when I think he shouldn't be here. So yeah, it's a watch race. I've got a little interest play for the punters at the end of the podcast that I'll touch on, but yeah, it's not a race that I want to dive into, unfortunately.
All right. Let's move across.
Mr. B is big, but on the same token, I think he's had enough, so $10 is probably unders.
Yeah, it could go one of two ways for Mr. B. Let's go over to race 9, the Queen of the Turf, 1,600-meter, Group 1 for the fillies and mares. Zoo Gotcha is the $3.60 favourite. After she won the, what was it called? The Cornwall Classic. A Tissue is $5. Tropical Squall is $6.50. Valencia, $9. Looks a bit big. Samana, $11. And Macarena, $13. So the big talking point in this race is obviously that A Tissue was a dual acceptor in the Queen Elizabeth. Now comes here. And I guess, is she going to be flat after that 2,000-meter Australian Cup run? Back to 1600 meters, is she just going to lack that dash that she usually shows? I think she's best at 2000 meters, but I also think she's the best horse in this race. So it's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah. I don't really have a firm opinion in the race, but this is a bit of a Waller setup, isn't it? 2000 back to 1600.
He has done it often, but I don't know if they've always been brutally run 2,000 metres where she peaked on her run last start. I think I'm going to have something small on her because as good as Zoo Gotcha was last start, she only did fall in the Cornwall Classic, and she beat Samana, who is triple her price here. Yes, draws well, gate one, J-Mac. There are lots of things in her favour, and I wouldn't be surprised if she won. But Atissue is the best horse in this race. She started second favourite last start in the Australian Cup, $4.80. Now you can get $5 back in grade. I know it's back in trip, but draws well. Blake Shim will have her somewhere near the pace, and I think she just has to be a bet, $5 plus. And I think the other horse that has to be a bet is Alentia. She was enormous last start, and it was a bit sickening for me because she was my best bet of the day the start prior at 1,200. But I don't know. She improved a lot out in trip, and I think she can do it again. 1,600 metres here, drawn out. She'll have last crack at him. $9 just looks too big because she's a horse who probably has, alongside Atissue, she's got the biggest turn of foot in this race, probably even bigger than Atissue. So those are the two I'd centre my thoughts around.
She ran similar time to another wheel on the same day. Like, it was real, like what she did. She absolutely, like, just demolished them. The last 400 metres was ridiculous. The race two gotcha comes out of Went No Good, the Cornwall Classic. And maybe she was, like, she regressed off her first up run. So, you know, like, maybe she'll go again third up. She's not that quick away, is she? She could get buried three back defense. I don't like Tropical Squall leads, but Atissue not ideal back in trip off a really, really fast pace. I just think, yeah, like I agree with you, Ben. I think Olenchi is just the one set up. Like she was first up. She sort of there were big hints. This is a really nice horse. Two preparations ago, I should say, and then she sort of just lost her way. And then first up, she was just okay. Second up, she was. Like she was beaten by Channel Lightning. How's that form look now? And then she won. Then she went to Rose Hill and just exploded. So, she's the one I think like could be big. I don't know. I don't really have any firm opinions. I'm just looking at the ratings and just sort of just.
That's crazy, isn't it? She SP'd $2.75 favorite in front of the TJ Smith Stakes winner last year. It just makes me sick.
It does, yeah. Anyway. I don't know. Like on ratings, Atissue should be the one that you back. But I just like off the really fast run Australia Cup, it just feels like it's
a bit icky.
Might, yeah, it just feels a little bit icky. And I think Alentia could be the one that might just be taking that next step forward, and you can have something on.
All right, sweet. Anyone got anything else at Randwick? I've just got two small plays.
No.
Race four.
Yeah, I've got two. I'll go after you though.
Race four, the Percy Sykes. I've got Lady of Camelot in a few little futures multis, but I'm actually going to tip an easer. Just something small at the $5. I just think Lady of Camelot under the set weights and penalties conditions, she's got to carry 59. She's got to give an easer 4 kilos. And look, there's no doubt Lady of Camelot is the better of the two horses, but I just think that weight pull is quite significant, and Anisa gets in really, really well here. She wasn't far off them in the Blue Diamond, and then last start, she got a long, long way back in the Golden Slipper, finished off pretty well. She was only beaten sort of 2.5 lengths, and Frosty retains the ride. I think she could turn the tables on Lady of Camelot, who will have to do a little bit of work to cross and lead them from barrier 12. And as I said, she might just be found wanting a little bit late with the big weight. I think they do back an easer. And then race 10 was probably one of my better value bets of the day. Speaking about that Chain of Lightning form, I'm going to back two that are nearly double figures. The first of those is Wee Nessie, $8.50. I thought she was really, really good last start. She goes Tommy Berry to Jay Carr, draws well, going to get the right run. And Same as Jake, she got way, way too far back in that same race. But prior to that, she's been knocking on the door behind a few good horses, Samana, Tintuki and the like. And if she's going to win a race this preparation, I think it's here. Tim Clark will be a lot more positive. And I've just got a little query on the favorite red card. I think.
Yeah, what is that doing? Is that short?
Yeah, it's my lay of the day. So barrier 13, 1,200 meters. I think last start it got the PR and it was good and I backed it last start, but I'm actually happy to be against at 1,200 meters. I think the 1,200 does test this horse. I think 1,000, 1,100 meters, yes. But 1,200 meters drawn out, going to have to work across to find the lead from a wide barrier. Happy to take it on and back 2 and 3 as a bit of value.
Yeah, that's real short. Hold on, let me just look at Wee Nessie's splits. I think shitting herself. But yeah, I agree with you. Those two look like they're very obvious. But Wee Nessie's splits good?
Yeah.
My computer shits off, yeah. Right, okay. Well, then that makes complete sense. Why is that red card so short? At 1,200.
She runs.
Yeah, but it's what drawn was the race wide.
What was the race that Wee Nessie ran super in behind Af Cabot? Was it the Arrowfield?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Last year's Arrowfield.
And second or third?
Second.
She ran second, yeah. Yeah, well, she's finished third behind them, Tashi and Channel Lightning. Tashi's in this race. What about Tashi? What do you think of her? She goes back from the wide barrier, doesn't she?
Yeah, like you could make a case for it as well, but I just thought barrier 10, $5. I'd rather back the two at better odds.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Red card doing that short.
Well, I don't know why you're half grown up on Lady of Camelot, Benny. She'll be winning. Watch her get beat now that I'm back on the train. I was on her in the diamond, cost me a mozza, and then wins a slipper, nothing on. Barrier 12's fine. Shinny will come across. Yeah, she's got the penalty, but she's earned it. She's a pretty good filly, so I think she'll just be winning. Interesting that J-Mac's down to 54 to ride Amina. I know it's not just for it. He was getting down to 53.5. I think he was riding at 54 for more felons in the cup. Obviously, he's out now, but he's obviously taken the ride on Amina. So interesting to see how she goes. She's a good filly, I think. So she's probably the one I'm most scared about. And then in the next race, one of the better bets on the day for me, I'm having a two-bet play, one main bet in number 6, Schwartz. I think he's a Group 1 horse in waiting. I think this should be a Group 1 race to begin with. But old mate Peter doesn't want to sit at the table and have a discussion, so this and the Everest won't be a Group 1 until that's the case.
Let me guess who your other bet is.
Who?
Hedged.
Yeah, having a little saver on Hedged for mental health. And the fact that he ran well enough last start, wasn't given a good steer, was a pit in the pinball machine at the start, and gets frosty on. Looks to get a good run. It's a pretty moderate race, I think. He's a better horse than Arkansas Kid, and arguably goes close to beating Arkansas Kid last start with a good steer and no interruptions in the run. It's an afterthought for Learning to Fly. She was going to run last week, and obviously the wet tracks got her here. Jolly Star, happy to take her on first up off a 1,000 guineas win last preparation. She's going to be going to longer races than here. And I think Osmosis is a bit of a yo-yo horse. I know he's getting the barrier blanket on Saturday, but yeah, I'm happy to take him on. I think Schwartz is a very good horse. I think he's a Group 1 winner in waiting, and I'm happy to be on him on Saturday. I think he's a really, really good bet. Just a small saver on Hedged, just in case. But yeah, I honestly think you can make cases for some horses here at decent odds and build a bit of a book. So
but happy to have those Arkansas two Kid bets. Was a little bit big.
Who?
Arkansas Kid.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, Arkansas Kid looked big just off the number it ran last time versus Estrella first up. And the other one was Libertad, who got knocked over at about the 800-metre mark last time. And the rating it ran before that has it competitive in these sorts of races. Yes, Osmosis is won the Coolmore, but it might have been the worst Coolmore of all time. And you saw that the market said exactly that when it backed Estriella to beat it by as far as she did. And I think it's an easy favorite to take on. And Hedge has got to be somewhere around there as well. And I think the two that the market is could be the most wrong on Arkansas Kid and Libertad, especially Libertad. That the $26 looks real big. That it got eased down. I wonder if I don't know. It just seems way too big to me.
All right, let's.
I also agree with you, Benny. Red Card is a later day in the last. Sweet. What were your thoughts on Solitaire?
Yeah, and she's
well. Last start,
she's got only beaten chance.
Three by Estriella. Second up, low gate, 53 kilos.
Yeah.
I do want to touch on something. There is a little bit, I need to do some more investigating on it, but someone I know who goes okay, he's got a system, and it's backed the leader in the last in Sydney.
Here we go.
There is no way that actually goes well.
Well, it worked last weekend, and it was 10 to 1.
Win 20? Is this
No, point? Not him. We'll touch on him. He's in the lay bin, old mate. Back Benny win 20. Have you seen his newest little catchphrase?
Who's that?
No, what is it?
Oh, he's having 50 cents for every Instagram follower he's got.
Yeah,
the
I
lot.
Know that. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was referring to with the last. But
mate, you should do that, but
that's a pisser.
Mate, the goat is Tim Narkey. You got to get on him. He's up 450,000 betting. $50,000, $60,000 blackjack hands. It's unbelievable.
I only just found out about this this thing that old mate Back Benny Win Plenty is doing today, but nuts. Absolutely nuts. Full credit, but anyway, he's probably not paying for it. Someone else is. So.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean?
All right, let's go over to the Nursery of Champions. But why do they call it that?
I'm pretty sure it's Werribee. I think you're wrong.
No, it's Bendigo.
No,
it's definitely Bendigo. I know
it all started because a lot of good horses debuted there. That's why.
Yeah, Alstom and Harada Strom. Harada Sun. Yeah, it's one of them. Anyway, I don't know. Shall we kick it off in race number one? The Benchmark 78 handicap worth $130,000 over 24.
All right, I'm done. Meters. I'm leaving now. See ya.
Right, let's speed it up.
Yeah, right, I'll do this quickly.
Romulus. I don't know how you say it, but that's the one you're backing.
Yeah, I backed it twice last preparation. It lost both times, of course, and especially one time when it was like $2.50 into $1.45 Betfair SP. That doesn't matter. I'm backing again on Saturday. It just looks really progressive. They nommed it for the Caulfield Cup last year, and it's obviously got a lot of ability. The international race that it came through, the horse that won was in Epsom Derby calculations earlier in the season, and yeah, the splits were massive. I just think it's the one that's going places, and I'll have something on VV Deal just as a sort of a saver bet. Not really. I think it's more of like an $8 chance. And yeah, it'll just be up on speed. There's not much speed. So those are the two. I'm quite actually keen on Divis Romulus. And then what do we got? What's the next race we're doing, Ben?
Race Nico five? Wants to go to race two and just talk about Bold Bastille, 1,000-meter, two-year-old.
Oh, come on, mate. It's $1.40. Keep it quick.
It's a winner, Nico.
Yeah.
Is this margin betting only? Do you want to actually say anything, or are we just moving on?
He's cactus. He's gone.
You've turned Move your on. Mic off.
No, I'm here. But you run through yours, and I'll go through mine at the end.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But just take it away.
Me. All right.
Just speed it up because your man needs to get some sleep here.
Yeah. Right. It's 10:30. Fuck. Race five. Moby Dick went up ridiculously short. It's like $2.10 right now, I think, is the best price. I could get it a little bit shorter than that, but I don't really want to take that price. I want to take like $2.50 or something, $2.40. If you get it on the day, that's fair. I think the faster they go, the farther it wins by. It just seems I don't like it back in distance. That's the one sort of query I had. Skybird's obviously a really good horse, but it'll go back, and this is too short for it. And She's All Shenanigans is the one I wanted to back, but it's been a massive firmer. Well, not massive. It's been a 4.5% firm already. So I think those are the really only three chance that can win the race. But I want to be on Moby Dick. I hope there's a bit of resistance in the market just with Shin off. And back in distance in 23 days. I don't know. It could be a little bit soft, and I hope it is. If I get a better price on the day, I'll be backing it. Race for number six.
For what it's worth, Moby Dick is my best bet of the day. I think it'll settle. Oh, at Bendigo anyway. I think it'll settle a lot closer from Barrier 3. And I think it's just got a bit on this field in time. I've been really impressed with its two wins, and I know they have been packing them wins.
Yeah, but it's all times and margins.
You just look at the clock. It's doing very sexy stuff late. So happy to back it. I think you'll get better. Skybird's no doubt a talent, but 61 kilos, it means something here. And he's had a few problems. She's had a few problems. So I just want to see her go around.
Skybird.
Very keen. Yeah.
She got issues. I didn't know that.
Didn't she?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, maybe she didn't.
Anyway, we'll go to race number six.
I
think
back up on that.
Right. Me and Ben are both not keen, but I'll back Garza Blanca. I think there's so much that you can just like sort of go through the field. Like, is it me is off like 80 days without a trial? End assembly is off like 300 days. What else is there? Like Red Hot Nick's off like 210 days. Mrs. Chrissy's, well, I've backed Mrs. Chrissy too many times. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I hate Mrs. Chrissy. I love hate Mrs. Chrissy.
And is it me? He's drawn the car park.
Yeah. I just think it. The horse I ran past at Astero is like, it gives me a little of an icky feeling, but the splits were still good regardless. And, like, you look through its splits, like the ratings it's run, like there's sort of indications that it should be, like if you mark up the sectionals and there's some real indication this is a pretty good horse. And I think they'll go real hard here. The pace will be strong and it sort of just sets up in the perfect position to just run over them late. So I'll have something on it. I don't know if I'll wait or I think I might just wait in the day. I'm not.
It also has improved both preparations gone from running first up figure and then won both times second up.
Yeah. It's a nice enough horse, but yeah, I'll back it on Saturday. Race number seven. I actually like this race. This is more directional. Like nothing's like set in stone and it's not perfect or anything, but I think Ballet Rich is way, way, way too short. And I have Papillon Club favorite. I want to back Nunthorpe too, but it was so bad last time. There's no real reason, I don't think. And as a horse, I think it's all of its best races have been in slow races, and every time it gets into a race where they actually go like any sort of pace, it just sort of like does nothing. So I'll definitely be on Papillon Club. I think it's a great bet. The sectionals were massive. First up behind Extra Two, who's also in this race. No, she's not actually. She's in the other race. Oops. But yeah, I'll be on Papillon Club. It's a nice bet. Race number eight. I'll just do this quickly. I've had something on Sunshine in my pocket.
What price did you take?
I took sevens. I missed the early prices. I was at uni. We backed War Machine last time, but it's just come up a little bit short. Roll on High is too short, I think. I could see Roland High starting like $2.50, but I just don't think there's much between him. Like on ratings, like you look at like the classes and all that sort of stuff. She's running in group run races, but what does that actually mean? Like that the races she's running in, they're not actually any good. I want to be on Modan as well. I think it'll just come across from the wide barrier. So, I want to be on it. Race number nine, I want to be on Golden Path and I want to be on the Summit. The Summit was massive sectionally first up and it's always been a horse. Like it came off like 700 days or something last preparation and improved through the preparation, but its overseas form, it was like had a second to Mishriff or something ridiculous. And Golden Path, nice splits first up and I think it'll probably lead on Saturday in a race with not a whole lot of speed for such a big field. So there could be like some really good horses a long, long way back in the field. And I think it could just steal it. In the last, I want to be on. I want to take the favorite on. I think it's way too short. I have a favorite, but sort of like I have a favorite, like just because I'm sort of respecting the market because it's so short. But like I could have it like third favorite if I really wanted to. I want to have Hennessy Ladd on my side. I also want to have Ryan Berg, and maybe Lethal Thoughts as well. So those are the ones I want to be, and maybe even Red Phantom too. So those are the ones I'll be centering my
bet. What do you reckon Ryan Berg does from the gate? This is obviously owned by.
I hope they go forward.
Friends, but yeah, because they went forward last start and it probably did it. Would you say it did a bit too much work?
They didn't go. They went above average. They didn't go fast. They went above the average for the class, and it was from a slow 1100 meters straight to a fast or above average 1400 meters, and I think it just got found out a little bit. So second time 1400 meters. I hope they just go forward. I hope they don't try and sneak it and be cute with it, because he's obviously a really good horse, and at his best he probably does win this race. But I want to be on like $15 at betting. That's just massive price, I think, for like the SP last time versus like similar horses. Shall I go to Terang or am I just doing that after?
We'll let Nico go through his Bendigo tips now, and then we'll go around the grounds to finish. Nico, what do you
got? Well, I'm still having my tantrum because I think Divius Romulus is the best bet of the day. And then as soon as I saw the message come through that Bolt was tipping it, I'm like, oh, beautiful. Well, this thing can't win now. So
I don't understand this
that's notion. Fantastic. Well, because whenever Bolt and I align, it never ends well. It never does. Yeah, I just think he's better than this lot. I think he'll be winning on Saturday, and I hope he goes towards a winnable cup.
Well, that's a good race for him.
Oh, yeah, well, so that was a great race for fucking Captain Envious until he pissed in last week. Yeah. And now they're shooting for the stars.
Where are they going?
I was so sick when he won at $34, and I haven't had a cracker on.
Yeah, me neither, me too.
Mornington Cup next week into Ramsden.
Oof, yeah. He's a good horse.
No, not fucking oof. He should be going to a Warrnambool Cup.
So Mornington Cup is that Caulfield next Cup ballot exempt? And then the other one anyway. Is Melbourne Cup ballot exempt,
yep.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So hopefully Divius goes to a Warrnambool Cup. I heard Nick Ryan talk about him today, and he goes he'll be even better with his toe in. We better touch on that. There's no rain in sight for Warrnambool. The sprinklers will be going flat out between now and 3 weeks' time. But there's literally no rain. There's about 2 days in the next 21 or whatever it is.
That's not good.
There's a chance of showers. They're gonna have to set a soft six around the circle because it's like reasonable weather as well. Has to be a soft six to get to a five.
There's going to be real lanes in the circle races.
And I'm iffy about it because they've already had issues at the last Warrnambool meeting and we lost those couple of races because of those patches that were too firm.
Fucking no, it was it's definitely
It's already
track
the hardest punting carnival of the year and now it's going to be even harder.
Steeple lane will be fine because they can smash the water up the hill. And the steeple races will be fine because they go through the steeple grass on the inside. But it's the circle races with the hurdles that's going to be the issue.
All right.
So hopefully somehow we get some rain. Just a soft seven, soft six would be perfect. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So
happy to be on him. Slate, mate. Just continue. What's your bets?
Bold Bastille is a lock. I'll tell you which multi it goes in, and I think Skybird's over the odds. Moby Dick might be a good horse. I know he's your best bet, Benny, and I can understand that, but he's back 100 metres. I don't like Jai On, and I just think she's a big price. Yes, she's got to carry the big weight. She's not 100% sound, but she's going to a Sangster next start. She needs to be pretty wound up, ready to go here. Yes, she's got to give a lot of weight, but I think the market's disrespecting her to the point like there's a few average horses in front of her in this market. Like Extremely Rowdy, She's All Shenanigans, Salui, they're okay horses, but I don't think they're anywhere near as good as her. The Waits punters have chimed in early. and are set in this market. And I just think at like 270 the place, I'd be shocked if she's not running a place. But that's a cracking bet. I'm happy to have the Skybird the place before any other bet in this race.
Yeah. And just to confirm, punters, she didn't have any problems. She was just flat after her last run before heading to the paddock, but I think she was all good.
Interested to see Cirilero miss back. Barrier 11 doesn't help her, race 7. And she's been caught up in this bullshit saga that's been going on with the positive swabs and whatnot. We're not going to touch on that. We don't have enough time. But I did think Papillion Club was over the odds as well. But she ran good last start. She'll improve second up. Looks well placed. And my only other bet was Sunshine in My Pocket, race 8. I don't know how they went up $10. That was silly. Someone's in trouble if that wins. But yeah, I just think he's a very progressive horse. Maps well. Should be a good run in transit for Johnny to somehow find trouble when there shouldn't be. But yeah, Roll On High is probably the danger, I think. Barrier 13 makes it a little bit tricky for her. But yeah, cracking race, plenty of chances. So yeah, that's me for Bendigo. I'm not going to give any jumps tips out for Sunday at this point in time because I haven't got any prices. So just keep posted on the socials for them.
But we'll we'll do another Betfair watch list that we'll be able to post on our Twitter punters. So
the only other bet that I've got is race 4, Stretton Angel. I think Osmar's well short.
This is Morpheville?
Yeah, Morpheville race 4. Stretton Angel should be winning that race, I think. Osmar's pretty short for a negative jockey change and in better company, I think.
Yep, so couldn't knock it. I don't think there's much between them.
No.
Stretton Angel got to carry a bit more weight. Barrier 1 is that a little bit tricky? Barrier 1 may be tricky for Stretton Angel.
Possibly, but just better form.
Yeah, definitely is better form. Osmar did run a big figure last start, but yeah, I think that's a cracking race. I'll definitely be watching. And what about Benedetta race 8? Do we think she can win the Irwin?
Oh, yeah, of course she can win, but it was not really a race that I wanted to chime completely into. She's got a sticky-ish gait. It might be a touch negative. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, hypothetical will be thundering to the front there from the wide.
Kalos Fresh also.
Yeah, off a little bit of a let up anyway. What was it, a month between runs?
Yeah, something like that.
It was a good meeting in Adelaide.
Well, it's not even. Yeah, no, it is a good meeting in Adelaide, but yeah. Oakley Plate Winners, $10 spot. You don't see that every day.
I was going to say, it's like the Oakley Plate's little brother, that race. It's got like all the Oakley Plate horses in it. Anyway, shall I go to Terang then?
We will pass the baton back to you.
Yeah, right. We'll go race number 1. Look, I'm well out of my comfort zone here. I'm going to back a debutante, Grinzinger Sun. The trial was really, really good, and I don't rate the race form at all. So, Grinzinger Sun.
Oh, I love it.
It's I'm pretty sure this is a race that Hellhound won on debut. And then I backed it at its next start at Sandown. I'm pretty sure Hellhound's a good midweek horse. I think it ran last Wednesday.
This is Sunday, by the way, Ponus. Sunday Terang.
Yes, Sunday Terang. And then we'll go to race number 7, the Terang Cup. I have Flossing Favourite over CR7. I just can't. The market's got a big opinion of CR7 because it can run a split, but it just hasn't done a rating and I just think Flossing's a really nice bet. Ran big splits behind Magnus Spin and Naristonis. After first up, it went really well in Morphettville. And yeah, it's just got really nice form. And can run a nice rating. I just think it's a really nice bet. At like best price now is that's sports bet. So it's got the emergencies in. But like at before 80, you can take some joints. And then I think the best bet all weekend is in the last race at Terang. So as rogue as it gets, but Aspen Colorado is Lindsay Smith, Taylor Child, so it's not not the favourite sort of circumstance I found myself in. I don't really like backing either of those two, but the splits were there first up in the Racknabil Cup, and he's just got like a you can pluck just whichever rating you want, really, and like you get rid of some of the other ones that were like he's underperformed heavily, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of his last sort of 10. He just wins this, and he's drawn perfectly. The main danger, Hasseltoff's drawn 15. He's going to go all the way back from to last, and I think Aspen Colorado just sits in the first sort of 5 or 6, and I think he'll win, and he's $5, so he's the best bet of the weekend.
Wow, huge.
Mm.
Massive. All right, I don't think I've got much. Hong Kong Sunday looks a very yuck meeting. I probably need to look at it a little bit more, but off the top, it doesn't look a whole lot that interests me.
Sunday's a massive form day for us three. There'll be lots of little hidden runs before Warrnambool.
Well, there just. All right.
Always happens.
Have you got anything else?
No, not just the jumps at Terrain as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I think it could be a very weak Warrnambool Cup this year because normally the Terrain Cups are one of the major lead-ups to the Warrnambool Cup. If those horses are going to a Warrnambool Cup, it's not going to be very very strong. There's a few doubts on those horses running 23.50.
Hmm. Surely Kieran's got something somewhere.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was saying to J-Mac today, Kieran's hasn't released a jumper really this season yet. I don't think his team's as big as what it once was. There's a few, they've got a fair assault going to Pakenham on Sunday, but there's still a lot of jumpers that they've had that are MIA. So it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Have you got any other bets, Nico?
Oh, just the ones on Sunday, but I want to see prices before I mention them because like one of the better bets on Saturday or Sunday could be, I don't know what price you're going to go up. He could be real short.
Which is going to win the golf? Hey? There's a couple followers of the podcast who love their golf. Who's winning the US Masters, mate?
If you're listening to this on Thursday night or Friday morning, I think you can back Johnny Rahm. I've had all my bets on the golf on Betfair. Much better prices, much lower percentage than all the corporates. Early bets that I've had, I love my golf, but betting on golf is near on impossible. I'd much rather have a bet after 36 holes. Yeah, you're taking lesser odds, but at least you know what's happening, how the course is playing, what needs to happen, etc., etc. So I've backed Johnny Rahm at 15-1 just because I think he's over the odds. I've backed Brooks Koepka at 25-1 because he always plays well around here. Brooks's biggest issue this week is going to be one of his playing partners. They absolutely hate each other. They've had multiple Twitter spats at tournaments. They hate each other and they're playing with each other. And he's come out and said, I'm going to drive him nuts and hope he has a million. So that hasn't exactly filled me with a lot of confidence, but I hope Brooks just gets in the zone, shuts that out. He just plays really well around there. And I think the best value of the whole tournament is Victor Hovland. He's about 50-1. I can't quite work out why he's that price. Yeah, he hasn't been there and done it. And that's probably factored into his price, but he's a very good player. He's one of the better players in the world. And he's very consistent. He's got all the attributes that you need to play well around Augusta. And I can see him playing well. I can't really see how he's that price. And I've had a sentimental $5 on Tiger at 200-1, just in case. Dreams are free. It'd be a miracle for it to happen. But if he's ever going to win another major, it will be around Augusta. And there is rain forecast over the next few days. And if that was to come, that only enhances his chances just because he knows the place so well. And any sort of other advantage that other players have got on him, they sort of won't have. But nonetheless, he's still hitting it just as far as he used to be. I've seen a lot of stuff in his practice rounds. Players are amazed how far he hits it. he's still hitting it further than them. They're like, how does this happen after everything he's gone through? But the bet to have, if you listen to this early enough, or you can still get on, is for him to make the cut. He's made the cut the last 24 years. You can get around $1.90 or better at some places for him to make the cut. That's a good bet, because I don't think he can play good enough for 72 holes to win, but he'll definitely make the weekend, I think, and he'll probably sort of fader out as the tournament goes on. But, yeah, they're my plays, and I'll have a couple more after the cut, so I might even put that on the Twitter. But,
yeah
betting at Augusta is hard. It's a brutal golf course. It's the best golf course in the world, but it's really, really hard. So if you listen to this in time and you're going to have a cut multi or those things, don't just put all the blokes in that you think should make the cut, because I can guarantee you there'll be one or two blokes that will hit one or two bad shots and it's all over around that place. It's takes no prisoners and it's brutal.
Yeah. Dreams are free, but punts aren't. But wouldn't it be great to see the red polo back on the goat?
Well, he was good to me back when he won, whenever it was, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I backed him at about 20-1 coming into the weekend, because he was like 10 shots off him at one point. Because Brooks was 7 or 8 shots in front. He was like $1.50, I think. Yep. And I backed Tiger. Unbelievable.
All right. Back, lay, pray. We need a best bet. We need a best lay. And we need something each way at around double figures for the punters. I will go first. I'm happy to make my best bet. Race 5, Bendigo, Moby Dick. I think we'll be getting a better price. I think he's a very good horse. I think he'll be winning. My best lay comes up in the last at Randwick. Already said it, but Red Card. I think 1,200 metres is a legitimate query for this horse, and she has drawn the car park, so a bit of a double whammy there. I think it's an issue. And my best value will just be the double bet play in that very race with Wee Nessie and Saint Magique. But
I'll lay Rolling High. I think she's too short. My best back will be the one on Sunday, Aspen Colorado, and what's my big price one? I don't know. Did I say one? What am I backing? Let's Be Frank, Baby is too big.
What race is that?
Race 4.
Race 4, and Rolling High is race 8. Nico, quick run through.
My lay is Red Card, race 10, Randwick. My best is race 1, Divius Romulus, but it can't win now because Bot's on. And my value is either Skybird, race 5, Bendigo, but I think race 6 at Morfettville, Saban, the horse of Moody and Coleman's that races in the Rosemont colours, the step to 1,800 metres will only be beneficial. It ran well last start in a midweek race at Sandown, but it looks like it's going to eat up every bit of that, and I think it's about 20 to or 25 to 1 in some places, so I think that's a little bit big.
Sweet. Moody Coleman, they were cast for a while.
I do have a little multi as well, but I think it'll be extremely hard to beat. Bold Bastille, as long as there's a couple of dual noms for horses in Adelaide, so as long as they stay in, you get around $1.40, $1.50, Bold Bastille, into race 6 or Kestrel. And I think $1.65, $1.70 for Pride of Jenny the Place is probably a reasonable lock for your multis. I don't know if she'll win, but I can't see her missing a place. So if you get around $4 plus for that multi, that's
Nico tipping solid. Pride of Jenny.
I'm not
you
tipping
heard
her.
Heard it here first.
I'm not
She's
tipping
in the multi.
Her. She's I'm a not place tipping lock. Her. You go back and listen to the fucking race preview. I said I'm not tipping her. I can't back her to win because I can't sit there and barricade.
You're tipping
her
to run top 3. That's all.
Well, it just seems like a lock for the race. I think she's going to be out in front. She could break their hearts, even if she's fallen in a hole. I don't think she'll miss.
All right, fair chat. Let's go over to some questions before we wrap up. We'll go to the Twitter questions first. Coop says, who do you think will win Horse of the Year? I think Imperatrix will win it. She's won six Group Ones. Yeah, like without a fight, he won a Caulfield Cup and a Melbourne Cup, and it was outstanding. But there's no way they'll give it to him. Just haven't seen him enough. Think About It has been good, but probably not in the same echelon as Imperatrix on an overall basis. And then I don't know who else there is. Mr. Brightside's been good, but not quite. If he had won a Cox Plate, then maybe he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, Imperatrix will win it.
Yep.
All right, Hayden, completely serious here. How many metres is Vistina, as a usual backmarker, going to have to make up on Pride of Jenny? And is it still feasible for Mr. Brightside to come close? Well, I think we're talking lengths, not metres. So I reckon 8 lengths, 8 to 10 versus Vistina will be spotting Pride of Jenny in the run.
So what's that? Maybe it like could 12 metres?
Could be 16 more.
Metres?
No, probably like 20 metres.
How long are horses?
Yeah,
like a metre and a half. Close to 2 metres.
maybe she will be 12 to 15 off. Who knows? Like, but as long as Pride of Jenny will be nose in front,
she'll have the flag. Yeah, coming up the rise.
I think it's tougher for her than the Australian Cup this week.
Has she ever been Sydney way?
Yeah.
She was only beaten a nose by Espiona and a Coolmore.
No, it was the other one, I think.
Queen of the Turf?
Yeah. No. It was it was Queen of the Turf, but I think she was beaten by what was it called? The So You Think Filly. Can't remember what it's called. Don't know. Anyway.
All right. Well, we'll have to go back and check that up. Kyle says, do we overhype European stays who come to Australia and win convincingly in their first start in Australia? Sort of like two-year-olds, we should be judging them off their second start instead of their first start, realistically, to give us a better indication.
Well, not necessarily, because what she's done is she won and she won the margins.
Well, I think this question is more in relation to post-impressionists than Vistina.
That's a small, like it. You just sort of treat him as any other horse. Like that's the best way to do it. If you're gonna have firm opinions either way, like you drill down on the numbers, and I can guarantee you it's just noise, really. Like it's the same as any horse. Like Post Impressionals came out at a really really fast race and backed up a week later in a slow race and was flat and probably pulled up lame. So like you say it all the time, it's just race by race. I don't think. Like trying to like have designated form factors for like imported horses. It's just like it doesn't really work, I guess. Like it just trade it off. The first, like for example, the first up run. Like there's a reason Post Impression has started so short. The market's not stupid.
Well, the thing is, they don't back up overseas, so he probably just didn't handle the backup, and obviously had a tough run, and then doing it a week later was a bit of an ask for him, and they're just not used to that. So I thought it's worth a forgive.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Stu says, did I prove I'm Jesus yet again with hashtag Imperatrix? Stu did say, Stu said Imperatrix should be retired. She's not going any good. Oh, and I sort of came out in the group chat and I said, like, basically, shut up. She's won two group ones. She got beaten a length in a new market with 58 kilos as a mare, and she only got beaten a half length of the weekend. But anyway, he ended up being right because she's been retired, not for his reasons, but full credit, Stu. You've retired a really good racehorse. I hope you feel good about yourself. Stu, next prediction. My girl Osmar stamps herself as Godolphin's number one seed. Is it? I don't know what else.
Godolphin has. Zapateo, Afcabin.
If Osmar does get her way into an Everest, we'll never hear the end of it. We will never hear the end of it from Stu.
She's a good filly. She was really good that last time at Adelaide. I think she could turn into a nice horse, but I doubt she's an Everest horse.
Mm. She's got to win a Sangster first. Worry about that first, Stu. Olivia Calder, I said, you got to ask a few questions. You haven't asked a few in a while. So here they are. Favorite Imperators win. My favorite win of Imperators is a bit of a rogue one and one that not many people will have. But that McEwen win where Giga Kick was favorite and all the talk was about Giga Kick. Everyone was sort of like 1,000 meters for Imperators. Not sure if she'll like that because she was a horse who had stretched to 1,600. What she did that day, I know she had the perfect run and Giga Kick probably didn't, but she peeled off his back, put three lengths on him over 1,000 meters at Moonee Valley and broke the track record. I just thought that is one of the most devastating wins I've ever seen live at the Valley. And for me, that's my favorite win of her. In the Moya was also good. She broke her own track record in that. But I think that McEwen win was the win where I went, wow, this horse is a star.
I reckon it was the one where she went past Asfura.
The Moya.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, because the track was like a good, a fast two that day, and she just, she went right past her.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like, last 200 meters was just fucked.
Yeah.
I'd probably agree, to be honest.
In the Moya?
I think it was that run. I can never remember race to race, but that one at the Valley, the one where she beat Asfura.
Yeah, that was a Moya.
Yeah. Nuts.
She also won a race in New Zealand. I think it was on like a heavy town. I think it was the Foxbridge Plate. She won that incredibly well as well. So,
Worst run when she got beat by Artorias. How's that? $11. Sold, $11 that day, and she didn't lose pretty much outside of that.
After being sold, which stallion should Imperatriz visit first?
I don't know.
I don't know. You'd have to look at the breeding tree. She couldn't go to, obviously, I'm Invincible, because that's her dad.
That'd be sort of interesting, wouldn't it?
I don't know. What you'd send her to, like, maybe Frankel or...
No, you'd want something fast, I reckon.
Pirata.
Animo.
Yeah, maybe. I reckon... I don't know. I reckon you'd want something speedier. We'll send her to Capitalist
Tycoon. Oh no, she'll be bought by Yulong, and it'll be Ridden Tycoon because Ridden Tycoon's at Yulong.
Yeah, that's probably true. Fat chance of that happening. What's more likely, a win at the footy on Saturday or finding multiple winners on the track? I don't know. I am cast in terms of finding winners, so probably football.
Just wait till Sunday, cuz.
Tyson Hunter, what's happening to the RP lads coming to the QE, huh? Small cat behaviour, one might say.
I'm coming.
Well, I can't make it because I've got football.
Are you going, Nick?
I don't know what your excuse is, mate, but...
Well, I told you the deal, Tyce. I said if Mr. B had won either of his last two starts, I would have been there.
Yeah.
I'm going up Saturday morning.
Pretty simple. We're not all little robots and win thousands in our dungeon like this little curly-headed imp.
Ryan D. Nico, how does it feel to be hot to trot Mighty Oasis? Well done, Nico. You tipped a $7 jumps winner, so full credit there.
Yeah, last Sunday was nice.
Nico, how much will you have on Kalani this week? 200 to 1.
Jesus Christ.
Wouldn't imagine much. Bot, what are your thoughts on composting?
What?
I don't know where he pulls this shit from, Ryan.
Nah.
And the last one, Ben, do the Blues win the flag? No, I would never dare say the Blues will win the flag. I still don't think we're actually playing that well at the moment, but we've been able to get the job done a few times. We were probably a little bit lucky last time around. Sammy Walsh makes his return. That is going to strengthen up our midfield big time, release a few sort of outside players. He can get in there, get the ball out, and he can also get on the end of it as well. So he's going to be massive for our midfield. That's probably where we are struggling a little bit. So I'm not going to say we'll win a flag, but a top four finish would go a long way to helping us achieve it anyway. All right, let's wrap it up there. There was plenty to talk about, but we'll be back next week, where we'll be betting even more, as the great Tim Nike says.
Yeah.